Good morning. We're going to look today at this concept, follow me. Jesus told numerous people. The concept is always there to follow him. A lot of people did follow Jesus, but for different reasons. Some people followed Jesus for the healings that he was able to provide them. People brought their sick children. I know many of us as parents would do just about anything to help our sick child. And a lot of parents did that with Jesus. They brought their children, their loved ones. He even healed some of his followers' loved ones. Healed Peter's mother-in-law. Some people followed him for the food that he provided. You know, the free lunch. Feeding thousands of people. A lot of people probably thought, hey, this is pretty sweet. We show up and this guy provides us food. That's nice. And I've said all along, we could pack this building if we went after that concept of giving people something. But you know what? A lot of the people that showed up for the free food, that's all they were interested in. You know, we could pass out gift baskets. And I've said it before, we could pass out $100 bills. I don't know how long we could, I don't know how long it'd hold out, but we could pass out $100 bills and fill this place up. But what would we be filling the building up with? People that wanted the $100 bill. Some people, just out of curiosity, they didn't have Facebook, they didn't have Snapchat and all that stuff. And you know, I'm using words I'm not even sure exactly what they are. I've heard people use those words. It makes me feel modern and relevant and up to date, which I'm not. I'm not at all. Stacy's always joked that the best thing about modern technology for me is the ability for me to live in the past. You know, with my old TV shows, my old music and stuff like that, that's the best thing that modern technology provides me. But they had word of mouth. And the word of mouth out on the street was, this man Jesus does unbelievable things. He heals people. I was there. You got to come see him. I saw him heal somebody. Or I was there. He fed. There was thousands of them. Some people just wanted to see what was going on. See what all the hubbub was about. Some people went to try to entrap him. They had not only apathetic motives, some had evil motives. The scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests. We've got to stop this guy. He's nuzzling in on our game. Al Capone. They must have foresaw Al Capone, because Al Capone used to say in Chicago, you're either in or you're in the way. Scribes and the Pharisees probably felt that. They probably got together at times and talked about that concept. He's stepping on our toes. He's leading people away from us. And so some of the people in the crowds around Jesus were there to entrap him. See if we could verbally have a little chess match with him to get him backed into a corner, for him to say something, do something, act in a way that where we'll have something to use against him. But then there were people that Jesus said, follow me, and he did. They did. Some of them followed. Matthew 9, verse 9, we see the account of Matthew, the tax collector. And it says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now we know that there's more to the story than that. We don't know exactly what all Matthew had seen and had heard. But obviously it was something. Matthew knew something about Jesus. For him to leave work, to leave his post, and to get up and follow Jesus. If I was at work and a stranger came in and said, come here, follow me, and starts walking down the hall, see you, kids. No. First of all, who are you? What do you want me for? But obviously, Matthew, we can assume there was something about Jesus that he had seen, heard the teachings, that he followed him. And we know that he will become one of the 12. In Matthew 4, starting in verse 18, and this was our scripture reading earlier today, says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now we know from other accounts, Andrew had already been aware of Jesus and had seen him and came running to Peter, telling him, we have found the Messiah. We found him. So it wasn't like Jesus is taking a stroll on the beach and comes across two guys that he'd never seen before. Andrew had already had contact with him and went and told his brother. They were aware of Jesus. But Jesus comes on the scene in this situation. They're working, throwing their nets in the water. And Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus has said the same thing to each of us. Follow me, and I will make you whatever of men. He said he's going to make them fishers of men, because they're fishermen. There were people that became farmers of men, or merchants of men, or teachers of men. Whatever it is in your life, we can serve and follow Jesus. He wants that of us. John 1 says, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. And we know Philip will follow him. And just like Andrew, when Andrew figured out this is the Christ, this is the Messiah, first thing he did was go tell his brother Peter. Well, Philip does the same thing. says, now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We have found him of whom Moses wrote about. We've been looking, our people have been looking for him for generations. We have found him. And he went and told, and when he started following Jesus, he's taking other people with him. Come on, Nathanael, we have found him. But not everyone called followed Jesus. And that's kind of the flip side, the sad news. You know, it's always the good news when Peter's called and he makes some fishers of men, or when he calls John, or when he calls Matthew. That's the good news. But you know what? There was a lot of people called that didn't follow. I just wonder sometimes how long he called me before I truly followed. We see in Matthew 19, starting in verse 16, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? I love this. We've had sermons based on this account before. That here's a man that wants to do good. He has a desire. He approaches Jesus. Instead of Jesus approaching him, he approaches Jesus. What must I do to have eternal life? He was interested in that. So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. This man wanted to know what he needed to do to have eternal life. And Jesus told him, keep the commandments. Simple as that. Keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Which ones do I need to keep? And Jesus says, you shall not murder. Oh, I've heard of that one before. You shall not commit adultery. I'm familiar with that. You shall not steal. I'm good on that one. You shall not bear false witness. Got it. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. He's thinking, man, I got it. Check, 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 check. I've been doing this since I was little. What do I still lack? Is there anything else? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. He's telling him, there's one more thing. There's one thing keeping you from a good relationship. Go sell all that you have. He's telling him that. He's not necessarily telling us to go put our house up on the market. If you do, we got Susan. She can handle it. She's a good real estate person. But Jesus is not saying to us, go sell your car, go sell your home, have a yard sale, and then give it to the poor. He's telling that man to. But whatever it is, we may have that one thing that keeps us from following God, that truly keeps us from following him. And whatever that is, we got to turn away from it. But he says, Sell these things, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He couldn't bring himself to do that. He had done all those other things, but there was one thing that kept him from totally following Jesus. So not everybody called wound up following Jesus. Some started following, but not all continued. That's a sad one too. You know, we talk about not everybody followed. Some started and didn't continue. In John 6, starting in verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. That's a sad verse to me. After seeing the works of Jesus, after having spent time with him, they chose not to continue. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? The crowds were starting to thin out. And he turns to his 12, said, do you want to go away too? But Simon Peter answered him. Of course, Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. They got it. They figured it out. Where else is there? We have been following you. Other people have been following you. They turned away. The 12 get it. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where else can we go? Where else is there? And Jesus sets the requirements. For those that follow, for those that continue to follow, and we're not talking just following a person around. We're not just talking about, you know, a little follow the leader. You follow him. Truly follow. In Luke 9, starting in verse 57, it says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you prepared for that? Even the birds of the air have a home. Foxes have dens. They have their places that they go back to. The Son of Man has nowhere. Are you committed to following that? He goes on to say, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Jesus is not saying to turn your back on your parents. Jesus himself didn't. He was making provisions while he's hanging on the cross for his mother. You go with John. Behold your son. Jesus honored father and mother. Wants us to honor father and mother. He's not saying don't love your father and your mother. But he's saying, you know what's more important than that? is to follow me. Their life is over. You can't do anything about them. But you can about those that are alive. You go and preach the kingdom of God. And he goes on to say, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. He's not saying that if you go on a missionary mission, not to hug your parents and your loved ones and tell them that you'll be back. He's not saying that. He's saying, when you choose to follow me, you've got to follow me. That all the things we get wrapped up with, does it really matter? Following me does. And that's what Jesus was saying. And I'd like to close with this verse in Matthew 16, starting verse 24. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny yourself. Deny yourself of those, of that worldly pull. Those things that the rich young ruler just couldn't overcome. He went away sorrowful. He wanted to have eternal life, but he could not cut loose from things. Couldn't break away from the things in his life and follow Jesus. Jesus says, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Now, Jesus had not died yet. I wonder what they were thinking. Take up your cross, what? That's a form of execution. Everybody has a cross that they have to face. For Jesus, it was physical death. Not every Christian faces death. Not every Christian is going to be executed. But every Christian has to take up the cross. And the cross for the rich young ruler was getting rid of his possessions. What's your cross to bear? Cross is a symbol of execution. Are you willing to die for Christ? And then he says, and follow me. Not just follow the leader. Follow me. Do what I say. Teach others to do the same thing. Follow me. Live the way I want you to live. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? There's a question right there. That is a question. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And that's what it boils down to. Jesus wants us to follow him. Follow him. In attitude, in action, in heart, in obedience. If you're not to that point yet of truly following Christ, I urge you to make that commitment today, to follow him, to alter your life to be in accordance with God's will. If you've been baptized You are in the church and have, if you've confessed that you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, you've made that great confession. If you haven't, you're not truly following Him. We have an opportunity to, right now, in just a moment, Colin is going to lead us in an invitation song. If there's anything standing between you and truly following Jesus, make amends with that. Correct it and decide to follow Jesus. Maybe you haven't been baptized. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Well, I believe in Jesus. I'm just not going to be baptized. That's a little foolish. Got a nice new hairdo. It's kind of foolish to get all wet. I believe in Him. Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized. If you've got sin in your life, repent. Luke 13:3. Repent of your sins. Anything that stands between you and truly following, correct it. If you need prayers of the congregation, we would love to pray with and for you. Whatever your need. If you've been looking for a church home, if you're a Christian and have been trying out a couple of different congregations, looking for a congregation to worship and work with, we invite you to worship and work with us here at South Valley. Whatever your need, please come forward while Colin leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.